Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy. And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hello, welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And this is Ruined, a podcast about horror movies. Sorry, I blacked out there for a fucking second.
All right, Mitch McConnell.
What do you think happened there?
Maybe that was good. The aliens.
Well, let's talk about the aliens in a second. But
let's talk about
before we
aliens.
Do, this is a podcast where we ruin a horror movie.
Yeah.
Allison, how are you doing? And I guess that it's a way in. How are you doing with regards to both Mitch McConnell and the aliens? Let's start with Mitch.
I mean, look, if he is having major health problems, that is obviously a real thing. But I certainly think it means that you shouldn't be in charge of the country anymore if you're going to have, like, but it's like I want John Fetterman to be still in his office, so I don't know how to square, aside from it being my politics, but, like, hey, come on, Mitch, get out of here.
Oh, and I mean, like, listen, I live in California. Dianne Feinstein, we got to get her out of there, man. She's going to drop dead on the floor.
Has she already? Like, I mean, how do we know that she's not kind of in, like, a death knell, like...
Well, and this week's...
Just saying yay.
Yeah.
As, like, a final word.
I mean, if she even says that, she's really is going to go on a whole rant. Yeah, you're right. Because it's one thing to rant about the gerontocracy. It's another thing to be like, oh, if someone has a medical problem, they should be removed from office,
right.
Which we don't agree with, obviously.
At all. No, that's like completely not what we're saying. But if you're in your 80s and your health has been declining, you're not going to get better. And it's not like, you shouldn't be doing anything in your 80s. You shouldn't be running the country in your 80s. Like, just stop working. I want to stop working one day.
I want to stop working today.
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 Tomorrow, I don't want to be working anymore.
I don't want to work anymore.
Turn into a bird and fly and live in a tree.
Fly? Yeah. I just want to be my cat.
I couldn't agree more. And I guess it's sort of like you just become so entrenched because you're there for decades.
Right.
That the idea of, like, oh, it would be better to train someone and, like, bring up another generation of Democrats that I trust and, like, or not even trust, but, like, it's like we have to be grooming the next people. Rather than we're going to wait till Dianne Feinstein doesn't even know where the fuck she is to be like, oh shit, we should have figured this out.
Oh, shit.
5 years ago.
Somebody had a great tweet, and I will continue to call it Twitter and be on it until the ship goes down or when they officially make dark mode the only mode, because I don't use dark mode. About how, like, it's crazy that, like, Wyoming has two senators, but California, with 40 million people, technically only has one because Dianne Feinstein doesn't fucking count.
It is tough stuff. I think we all know of the many, many problems with how our government works. It truly makes no fucking sense.
It doesn't. We really fucked up.
But I guess it was, did we fuck up or was this the intention? You know, it's like, it's not
probably
really about representing the most number of people.
No, it's about hoarding money.
Yes, wealth and power.
Yes.
And then the aliens. How you feel about the aliens? I'd like to get your thoughts. You know what mine are going to be, but I'd like to know yours.
I fully think that other life forms exist in the universe because
absolutely.
It would be absolutely insane if it was just us.
Unlikely.
It seems very unlikely. So I do think stuff is out there. Do I think somebody's they've probably come in contact. They've probably figured out where we are. Maybe, but, like, I haven't watched any of that hearing, and I haven't been too engaged with it. But apparently, like, the guy who was like, I have evidence, we have proof, like, I guess also has a bunch of other crazy.
Yeah, he
so
does.
I'm just like, oh, well, maybe this is, like, I think that, like, it is very possible that aliens have landed on Earth and that we do have evidence. And I also think that this guy isn't the one with that information.
It's interesting because you do have all these like former government officials who really are on board with it. Uh-huh. But, you know, I mean, we have a lot of people who believe in a lot of crazy religions. People believe in Bigfoot, you know, like
right.
belief and even testimony about something they experience is not real. So mm-hmm. for me watching it, I'm like, I want to believe the aliens are real. I want to believe they're here to save us from climate change. Please, I wouldn't be more thrilled. I wouldn't even mind if they were here to blow up the planet at this
point.
That
would be fine.
We're fine with
we're
that.
We're cool really, with it.
It's just like if they did it really fast, it would be like, you know, aren't we all in a submersible? We wouldn't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
I don't want the planet to blow up. But I think it's one of those things where like, we're all on, I think most people are on board. I need a little bit more than a straight white gentle cis gentleman
yes.
ranting and raving in front of Congress about some stuff. Oh, can we get like a DNA test? Can we get
something?
And at the end of the day, truly, and you know, as people who are more skeptical about the existence of aliens, skeptical about this specific guy and the yes. stuff he's talking about, I'm going to need them to haul out a little body. I'm going to need to see
a little green guy.
I need to see a big old gray head or green yes. head. I need to see those big old black eyes. Until then, I'm sorry. You're just telling tall tales.
Yes. My all-time favorite Twitter account / comedy source is Da Share Zone. I don't
yes.
know if
you've told me, but I followed it on your recommendation.
There's not a post I don't laugh at. It's so outrageous and like literally unhinged. But he had one there's always something like vaguely topical in them. And he had one for aliens. And he said, stop hiding, gray bitch. Like about the
that's
aliens.
Absolutely how I feel about it.
Like, stop absolutely. Hiding, gray bitch.
Like, if they're and that's teasing how I us, feel. If they're being little silly teases, I just
yeah.
don't.
Stop being so coquettish, aliens.
Because then it's like, oh,
let
we
us
didn't
see
want-
you.
Like, oh, we don't want them to know because they'll freak out. Bitch, look around. We're already freaking out. Like, things are going wrong. Please.
Again, the fact that it's, like, barely been a blip and we're like, oh, should we talk about the aliens? I guess maybe we should talk about the aliens because there's so many other things that are so much more oppressive and important. Like, they're right, weighing like, on us.
Like,
some guy did a flow chart on TikTok that was like, here's how I figure out if I care about something.
Yes.
News breaks. Do I have to pay rent still? Yes, I don't care about it. Do I have to go to work tomorrow? Yes, I don't care about it.
Yeah, I will say I definitely had a conversation with someone recently, and this is not anything about them, but they were like, yeah, it's like, I don't know why, like, the writers are striking, like, AI is going to take over everything. It's like, then we'll just all have to get other jobs. And I kept being like, but what other jobs? And it's like every industry they said, it was like, well, yeah, but I'm imagining that also will be, you know, will be taken yeah. over by AI. And then finally this person goes, well, we'll have to learn to code. I'm like, you think they're not planning to have AI code?
Yeah, that's like the first thing
the
they know how to do.
Thing. Like, I'm like, that's, I don't know why they're doing that, but
it
their jobs
make any
first
sense.
Will be, you're creating something to take your own job. I guess a lot of us have done that historically. But yeah, it truly makes zero
sense
to me. But yet again, in so many ways, we're not in control of this. If the aliens are going to show up, let me see you, gray bitch.
Let's
fucking
go.
Let's
go.
I'm sorry. Also, not to be a downer, but I always think of, like, when people were like, oh, I saw something or I believe something. I always think of that, what is her name? Lori Vallow, that woman with her husband who murdered all of her children because they were part of, like, some weird, like, Latter-day Saints.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not real Mormonism, obviously. It's
no,
like
no,
some
no,
sort
it's
of
like
weird
a, some
cult
bizarre
version.
Extremist, yeah.
They really believe they had those experiences. Like, they
yeah.
really do believe they've talked to God and witnessed these things. So I think the idea of, like, oh, I saw an alien, it's like, okay, well, like, who are you? Are you
right.
insane? Like, how? What do you mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to need to, again, we're going to need to see the bodies. We're going to need
yeah.
some little gray bitches.
There okay. is an Unsolved Mysteries episode on the Netflix reboot that is, like, it's, like, 350 people across, like, a huge swath of Michigan all saw, like, this very suspicious and unnatural seeming thing happening in the sky that, like, everybody was like, is it, just tell us if you're doing military stuff, like, just so we know, because we're all going
well,
insane.
Well, I mean, and that's the other option. It's just, like, that it is military, either us or someone else. And
yeah.
that it's, like, CIA or something. But if it right. is, honey, you're getting a little sloppy.
Getting
you're getting
a little bit
messy. Okay.
Somebody said that they
in.
Think that they trotted out all this alien stuff. Like, why now? Why not earlier? And why not? It's, like, because we're going to, like, add a bunch of defense spending. And this will justify it.
My wonderful friend, Megan O'Connell, she writes for Romper, which is a great website. They do a lot of, it's parenting, and they, I don't know, they've had a lot of wonderful stuff on there recently. And always. And she's been on Reddit quite a bit, sort of looking at the different theories. And I think I would say two things to that. One, I do think it could be an intentional distraction in the hopes of buying them more time to do something about climate change. But we know that they won't. Mm-hmm. I think the defense spending is a little bit silly because that's the one thing that – I mean, like, I think Biden's actually done some really good stuff.
Yeah.
Defense spending is not going to be a problem. The idea that you need to do this to get more defense spending
– Yeah, no, it's true.
Who's holding that up? Like Bernie Sanders? Like,
we all just watch it. Happen and we're like, all right, I mean, I guess we can't stop this nightmare.
Yeah, like they did, like, we need to do this. Since when? Like, what America is that person talking about? But I understand, we're trying to understand what the fuck's going on. So listen, we're throwing spaghetti at the wall and I'm there just chomping it out of the air.
Yum, yum, yum.
And again, let me see those gray bitches, Allison. Speaking of some absolute bitches.
Yes. Oh, hey guys, we're just popping in or starting off or whatever to tell you we have another live show coming up. Yay!
Woo!
Whee! Sunday, August 27th at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, we're doing a traditional live show, moment.co/ruin, to get your tickets to see me ruin Sharknado for Hallie.
Yay! I'm like absolutely honest, in classic, I really am taking on the Allison role. I may have seen Sharknado, but I don't remember one moment of it.
Wow. So this is a real reversal for
us. It's all gone. It's gone.
I hope
can't
I can
wait.
Remember it.
Well, we'll find out. And you'll find out too.
Yes. So get those tickets. They're $10 at moment.co/ruined. We're going to have some drinking games. We're going to have the live chat. We're going to have merch, as always. So please join us, and it will be up for 72 hours. If you can't join us Sunday, August 27th, you can watch it until, like, I don't know, Wednesday or something. So get your tickets and see you then.
We have another installment in our vacation horror movie month. We are doing the movie The Ruins.
Yes.
Which this is the first time in ruined history where I did think after watching it, wait a minute, did we already do this movie?
And there's no way for me to know because I forget every single movie that we've ever done.
Right, which it's a very Waiting for Godot type situation we found ourselves in where we have no memory, none. Past, no future. There simply is a horror movie. And this movie came out in 2008. It is directed by Carter Smith and written by Scott B. Smith. And it's written on the 2006 book of the same name. And weirdly, the first guy I ever slept with gave me the book, The Ruins, and I remember reading it probably in 2006, loving it. It's a great book. It's a beach read. It's fun.
But a good book becoming a good movie, I mean, what a treat. How often does that happen? I feel like it's always like a terrible book can be adapted into a very good screenplay or like a great book and a very disappointing movie. And here we are.
Well, we talked about Knock at the Cabin where he changes the end. And it's like, well, you didn't understand a damn thing.
At all.
Also, not that it matters, but I'm looking up as apparently the director, Carter Smith, is gay. And I do, this does make me like the movie more.
Yes, of course.
Is that fair? No, I don't care.
It doesn't have to be fair.
And then Scott Smith, the author. Oh, apparently he also wrote the screenplay for A Simple Plan, which was nominated for a Best Adapted Screenplay. I don't remember what A Simple Plan is about.
I'm thinking of A Simple Favor, which was the Blake Lively Anna Kendrick movie.
I literally was too, which I did love.
I got stoned out of my mind and saw that in a movie theater, and I was like, this is fun.
I think that's an absolute blast. It's the kind of movie you put on while you're doing dishes. Yes. So I'm actually a huge fan of that movie.
Huge fan of that movie. I don't know what A Simple Plan is, but it also sounds familiar.
but I thought this was an absolute treat, and I think really appealed to me in as much as that the horror is played for realism. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's always, you're always going to get my goat when you do that. And we always like to take Allison out on the town and show her the trailer before we get into a movie. And Allison, what did you think of the Ruins trailer?
I didn't care for this trailer. It looked very scary. And I watched Lost. I loved Lost. I think, but like, any movie where it's like, oh, there's a group of people that don't seem like they want us to bother them. Should we go bother them?
Yes.
The answer is no. You should not go bother them. Never do that. So it makes me kind of almost hope that everybody in this movie dies. But
And then what are your feelings about the ruins themselves? What are there any images from the trailer that kind of leapt out at you?
Once it's like once the one character is like, it's inside me, and there's like a big, like, it's not a bruise, but something clearly living like below her skin. That really, mm-hmm. I didn't like that.
That's,
at all.
That's extremely fair. And from this, of course, we always like to take it baseline scary for Allison. Allison, how scary do you find being trapped on a ruin and the local people not letting you leave the area for very good reasons? How scary does that strike you?
It's very scary because look, we've discussed. We are not smart people. I don't know a lot of things.
No.
I am pretty... not gullible, but like
dumb. A dumbass.
I'm a
dumb idiot.
Like a stupid person.
A drooling Nimrod.
But like, if I were in a place that is not mine, so like a ruin that is, you know, inhabited by a group of people who have lived there for a long time and they were like, don't leave, I'd be like, they're probably right. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm coercible, like very coercible in that. Like, I would just be like,
and
oh,
I've
they're
always
right.
said that about you.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. To be fair, I think both of us, neither one of us would have ended up on the situation, in the
if
situation,
I'm on vacation,
which
I'm
we'll
just
discuss
sitting
that.
On a beach. Just sitting on a beach. That's
our
all I'm doing.
Only, our preservation is to know that we cannot step too far out of our depths, and mm-hmm. we would be very mm-hmm. much out of our depths. We will talk
yes,
about that.
Extremely.
And before we start, would you like to guess the twist in the ruins?
Guess the twist.
I am going to guess that, like, whatever is circulating is going to be presented as, like, it's a demon, it lives in the ruins, like, you can't, like, ooh. But the reality is it's a virus and it's just, like, a medical thing.
Love it. That's absolutely perfect. Incredible. So we open on, oh, Allison, you're going to love this.
Okay.
A woman alone.
Oh, great.
In a completely dark, windowless, airless space below the ground.
Grave.
She's sobbing. Been there, girlfriend. Okay. She's screaming, somebody help me. She tries to dial her phone. Allison, it's broken. Oh. It's shattered. She looks up and out of the darkness. We see movement. We hear a little bit of rustling. Something grabs her leg and she's jerked away into the shadows. Cut to beautiful sunny Mexico.
Okay.
Where we see tourists, Jeff and Stacy. They're playing cards by the pool of their gorgeous resort. They're joined by their respective significant others, Amy and Eric, who are bringing them a round of shots, margaritas. They have a pitcher of frozen margaritas.
Ugh.
So it's not like a classy resort, but you know what I mean? People are loaded, right?
I want a pitcher of frozen margaritas right now.
That sounds like heaven. I'm not drinking as much right now just because it's like, I literally, if I start drinking when I read the news, I just have to try to maintain my own.
It is a recipe for chaos.
Whew. But I would drink a virgin margarita right fucking now.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious. Amy realizes that she's lost an earring. She flips out. They're scrambling around their stuff looking for it. She's approached by Matthias, who is another traveler from Germany. And I would just say everyone is a young, hot, white person. Mm. And those young, white, hot people, because again, it's 2008, we are talking about Jenna Malone.
Okay.
We are talking about Sean Ashmore.
Oh, sure.
Jonathan Tucker, who I completely forgot about, but is great in this movie and has been in a bunch of different stuff. He was in Westworld.
Oh.
They're joined by another traveler. He has found her earring in the pool. They offer him a frozen margarita and starts chatting. Stacy, we also early on get some comments about Mexico that are again are setting them up for later recrimination from the place in which they are inhabiting. Stacy says, those frozen margaritas are made with ice from here, and the water in Mexico is contaminated with human feces. So if you drink that, you're basically drinking hepatitis B.
Okay.
I was like, Stacy, you are not making it out of this movie alive.
No,
like, we know that right away.
That's not, no.
We find out that Amy and Stacy are best friends, and then Eric and Jeff are their boyfriends. I'm going to say this right now. I already apologize. Jeff, Stacy, Amy, and Eric are the most
generic names. Those are all the same name. I'm sorry if that's your name, but those names are all the same.
If you put them together, rearrange them, it spells one name.
Yeah.
And that name is, I'm so sorry, I can't even read it. So I would like to apologize ahead of time. Matthias at least has a German name, so we're going to be able to remember him. But this is their second to last day traveling. They're asking Mateus, like, oh, you're traveling alone? He says, I'm actually traveling with my brother Heinrich, but he met a woman down here. She's an archaeologist. And they went to this really cool dig site. It's the ruins of a Mayan temple. Whoa. Everyone else is like, you know, just excited to lay by the beach, the pool, and drink. Jeff, however, he's the studious one. We find out he's going to med school soon. He's a nerd. He's intrigued. He's saying, like, oh, okay, I've been trying to get everyone to go to some ruins with me, and no one will go. And Mateus says, oh, it's really cool. It's this new site, this new dig they're doing. It's not even on the maps yet.
No.
It's VIP only. And everyone else is like, okay, well, if it's VIP only, we'll go. Like, oh, okay. But like a special thing that we could tell people we didn't take photos. Right. Like, we'll go. And Mateus says, I'm actually going to go with me tomorrow morning. My brother Heinrich is supposed to be back by now, but I guess he's having too much fun with this woman. I'm sure he's fine. Obviously, you know, we know what's going to happen. Jeff hypes the group. He's like, a little culture would be nice, okay? And he gets everyone on board. Amy, his girlfriend, is the most reluctant. That's Jenna Malone.
Okay.
She's like, do we have to get up early? I'm on vacation, which yes. I agree.
I share her concept of vacation.
And we see a bunch of Greek guys jump in the pool, and they're shouting at Mateus. And he's like, oh, yeah, they're probably going to come too. But these guys are fucking party animals. I don't even know if I should have invited him. But, you know, just, you know, the offer's on the table. That night, they're on the beach as the sun sets, and Amy's taking the group's photo. She's sort of the group photographer with an actual camera. And there's also a bar on the beach. So it was nightfall. So we were out there partying, falling down drunk, like really getting into it. And Amy tries to get Jeff to dance with her, but he is, again, a nerd, so he's not a party guy. And they play a game, and basically it's like a game of puns that comes up. And one of them is, a hotel heiress dyed her hair blonde. And then everyone thinks, and someone says, but the carpet didn't match the drapes. I don't know what you call that game, but that's what they're playing. I don't know how you do it. Okay. The Greeks join them. They give everyone a bottle of liquor. They're passing it around. And Amy's giggling and falling to the ground. Instead of helping her up, Jeff basically is like, I'm going to head back to the hotel room. I'm going to get up early and to run. And we're getting up early because we're going to the ruins, okay?
Oh, my God. What a nightmare to travel with.
I know. It's so stressful. Traveling is already so stressful.
It's like, just let everybody do what they want to do.
And it's also like their last day before they're leaving. So they're going on this trip. And then like the day after, they're flying out, basically. So now that he's gone, Amy's wasted. She starts dancing with Mateus and starts hitting on him. And Eric and Stacy are kind of canoodling. And Eric says, I bet you oral sex that Amy is going to kiss Mateus. And Stacy's like, she's here with Jeff, who is her longtime boyfriend. And also the idea of betting oral sex.
Betting oral sex if your friend will cheat on her boyfriend is like really fucked up.
Well, luckily, Mexico has a plan for them to get their comeuppance.
Good.
But, of course, Stacey's like, she would never do something like that. They look away 30 seconds later. Of course, Amy is kissing Mateus.
Yeah, right.
And Stacey has to run over to kind of bust it up. And the explanation Stacey gives is basically like, oh, she's just being crazy because Jeff's med school is 2,000 miles away. So, or they're about to be 2,000 miles away. So they're in a weird place in their relationship. She got too drunk. She kissed some other guy in front of her friends. Not a great scene, but whatever. Stacy intervenes. In the morning, we see Jeff running on the beach at dawn, and we see most of the Greeks who are drunk and passed out on the beach. So he runs past them as he runs back to the resort. He goes to the breakfast area. He sees one of the Greeks, Dimitri, who's coming with them. Dimitri is copying the map that Heinrich gave his brother, Mateus. So Dimitri is coming with the gang and Mateus right now, and he's leaving a copy of the map for the drunk Greeks with the idea that the other Greeks will be joining them later in the day. So the people who are going are our four Americans, Mateus the German, and one of the Greeks whose name is Dimitri.
Okay.
And if you're wondering if Dimitri is going early just so we get the body count up, you would be correct.
Great.
In the room, Eric and Stacey have, like, the most, like, annoying conversation. Apparently, she didn't blow him, even though he was correct in the bet. And Stacey's trying to get dressed. Stacey's completely naked because, again, this is, like, the early 2000s.
Right. They're just like, oh, no, female nudity. We must show it for the movie to be valuable.
Just titties out.
Yeah.
And he says,
do you know what they do to people down here who don't honor their bets?
Bus leaves in, like, 15 minutes.
They smash their hands.
Mm-hmm.
No, they do. They take with broomsticks, and they just, like, whack, smash their hands.
This is a person who's trying to ask for oral sex from their partner.
You're threatening violence?
And he says to her, it'd be a shame to smash those pretty little hands. I guess if you were deep in some sort of long-term dom sub relationship, maybe that's horny.
I guess.
I would be like, I'm going to fucking kill you. What are you talking? Like,
how dare you?
To turn sex into this like whining, whinging. I was like, please, this is awful. I'm not saying this is what straightness is, but also.
I mean, it's not the concept. Not, it's not what it's not.
Sexual obligation is not sexy, right? Yeah. But while they're arguing, Stacey also says, please do not tell Jeff that Amy kissed Mateus. She was drunk. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
And Eric's like, I won't tell if you suck my dick, obviously. And she relents. And he says, I'll be so quick. Ooh, sexy. I'll be so quick. Thumbs up, guys.
Cool.
Meanwhile, over in Jeff and Stacey's room, Stacey is extremely hungover. She's vomiting. And she starts to say, which is funny because we recently did the rental. She's also like, yes. Maybe I should go with you guys. Like the classic, like one partner is so drunk they can't even leave. But of course, Jeff is too uptight and too excited about the ruins. He's like, nope, we are going. This is a once in a lifetime experience. Plus, you brought your camera. You just, all the photos you have are like us at the pool, us at the beach. This is actually cool shit you could be taking photos of.
Okay.
She says, look, you're already dressed. I'm not. Like, just go without me. And he kisses her, and he tells her, but I don't want to go without you, and wins her over. She's on board. And also, if she'd only been a little more hungover or a little bit more pissed off, she wouldn't be in the situation.
Survived. Yeah.
So the foursome, along with Mateus and Dimitri, they take a bus to a small town, and they get a taxi for 18 kilometers, which is they say is around about 11 miles.
Okay.
And then there's a 2.5 mile hike. I'm going to stop you right there. I'm not doing any of that.
No, that's just, and also, like, that's one way. You have to get back.
Yeah, like, I'll take a bus somewhere, but a bus to a taxi, then we hike, and then we're in the middle of the jungle?
No, no.
I'm dead. No. I'm going to die.
No, I could barely manage a bus.
They eventually find a taxi, which is just a guy with a pickup truck who's willing to take them.
Okay.
And he's like, sure, I'll drive you wherever. And they show him the map. And luckily, he speaks English. Their Spanish is not great.
Yeah.
The driver looks at this hand-drawn map and says, oh, that place? Absolutely not. I will absolutely not take you there. I'll take you to the pyramids. Everyone loves the pyramids. Ooh, they're big. Let's go there. And of course, Dimitri pulls out a wad of cash. The driver says, well, I guess I'll take you there. You know, and my thing, okay. While they're driving, my whole thing is what you asked is like, how the fuck do you get back? You're not calling an Uber in the middle of the goddamn jungle.
Right, like, it's like, even if you can get a ride there, like, I don't feel like there's just, like, taxis kind of hanging out at the base of a 2.5 mile hike to an unmapped ruin.
100%. Luckily, once they park, the gang piles out, Amy finally says, wait, how the fuck are we get it back? Jeff says, don't worry, I got the taxi driver's card. And Mateus says, I have an international phone. I can call from anywhere, so don't worry. So it's time to see some ruins. And right before they go into the jungle, Allison, we see Heinrich's car is parked at the foot of the path. And they're like, oh, is that your brother's car? And Mateus looks at it. It looks bad. Like, it's been rained on. It's covered in mud. It's covered in palm fronds. Like,
it's not like they left and came back. And like, exactly. It's just been sitting there.
It's just been sitting for a couple days.
Not a good sign.
Exactly. As they walk, Eric starts to, like, tease Amy and starts to play the game they were playing on the beach. He says, once there was a very, very drunk girl who stuck her tongue down some guy's throat, and Amy freaks out and flips his hat off. So, again, like, please don't tell Jeff.
Yes.
And he shuts up. We also find out that, according to the map, they are going to pass by, not through, but past a Mayan village where, you know, people who live near the ruins would live, but there's, you know, it's not really for tourists.
Yeah.
They stop at a creek. Allison, once they start to, they cross the creek, they realize they have lost the path. There's no visible path forward. Fortunately, they spy.
Oh, this is why I don't do things.
I will never do anything again after watching this movie. They spy two little children sort of spying at them from up the hill. And Stacey and Eric say, oh, let's wave them down and ask for directions. It's like, you're asking two children under 8 for directions in another language through a jungle you're unfamiliar with. Sure. Yeah, go ahead and ask them.
Sure, guys.
Fine. Eventually, Mateus looks around. He finds the path. Allison, the path has been covered with branches and fronds and all these things to try to block it, as if someone does not want them to find the path.
Like, intentionally?
Yes, okay, intentionally.
That's not great.
So,
like, I'd see that and be like, we shouldn't do this.
Exactly. And both of the girls say, this doesn't seem right. Are we trespassing? Like, it looks like, okay, so the locals don't want people to come through here.
Also, like, of course, like, women, like, especially in, like, in a 2008 movie like this, like, women being like, oh, it looks like there's a boundary we're not supposed to cross. As somebody who has boundaries crossed all the time, I recognize that very clearly. Like, and men are like, we should just do it.
And they're like, no, no, it's fine. It's probably the archaeologists don't want people to, like, come to the dig site and steal stuff.
But
it's
you like, all, like...
Also, isn't that what an archaeologist is? It's like, aren't they stealing
somebody
stuff?
Somebody who's stealing.
Right. It's like, what are we talking about? But as they... Not that all archaeologists are doing that. Just classically, historically, white archaeologists are going to other...
in non-white places, taking things that don't belong to their culture and then making money off of them.
Come on. But so they walk on into the path. And at last shot, we see Jeff looks back and we see the little girl of the pair looking at them. And the little boy runs off. And the little girl, well, she doesn't look thrilled for them as they walk on. I'll say that much. As they walk on, Eric sort of starts to signal that he also won't be surprising movie. He says, do you think those kids were Mayan? Didn't all the Mayans die of some fucked up disease? So again, we know
bye-bye. That
he's going to die. And he says, we can be walking through an ancient graveyard right now. It's like, well, you'll be in a modern one soon enough, pal. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that. As they're walking, they finally arrive at the ruin, which is a sort of, again, as an American, a classic sort of steeped, flat-top pyramid covered in vines.
Okay.
We see Amy ask Jeff for her glasses. So she wears her glasses to shoot photos. She's taking all these pictures. Mateus points to the top of the ruin and says, is that a tent up there? And we could see, like, the top of a yellow tent.
Okay.
But they don't have time to answer before a Mayan man, who I'm going to call the Mayan leader, because he is sort of the first on the scene and seems to be directing the other people who are going to be showing up.
Okay, great.
He arrives on horseback. The horse seems terrified, and he starts screaming at them. He is screaming in a Mayan language, but you also don't have to be fluent in any language to know that he's telling you you have to leave.
You can get the tone of what he's asking very easily.
Yeah, and then just to add... 6 million people speak there's a Mayan language family where it's spoken. It's mostly spoken in Guatemala, but there are people in Mexico who speak it.
Okay.
In Guatemala, there are 21 Mayan languages that are recognized by name. In Mexico, they have 8. So there are people where Maya people who would be speaking a language that these Americans, even if they knew Spanish, it wouldn't be the same. Yeah, they wouldn't be able to communicate. That being said, body language... Tone, intention, context.
Facial cues. All of these things transcend spoken language.
The fact a stranger has showed up and is screaming at you within a tone of desperation telling you you have to leave, I think that crosses all languages, right?
Yes. Agreed.
Unfortunately, these Americans are not quick on the uptake, unfortunately. Also, this is a full set they built, and that Amazon noted that this is not accurate to Mayan ruins, which have solid steps, and this one has a little bevel top that sits on top. I'm like, oh, that's fun. That's a fun note. But they're all sort of flummoxed. They're like, what do you mean we can't just come in here to anywhere in the world? Why would you have an opinion about that? But the Mayan guy, unfortunately, cannot tell them what he needs to know, which is, you are in imminent danger if you stay here. Jeff, again, being a white American, says, maybe he wants money. And he tries to offer him cash. The guy refuses. While trying to, like, again, argue with them, convince them, you got to get the fuck out of here. Mateus, meanwhile, sees the tent and is thinking, oh, Heinrich and the archaeologists are on top of the ruin. So he's, like, shouting, hey, like, for his brother. Meanwhile, two more guys arrive on horseback, including a guy with a bow and arrow.
Okay. Once a weapon shows up.
Yes.
You know you've done something wrong.
So they're very agitated, and Jeff says, Mateus, show them the photo of your brother on your phone and tell them we're trying to see if we can do Spanish to try to talk to them, say, like, we're looking for this guy. As he goes to show them the phone, Amy takes a photo of the Mayan men. They start shouting at her, and the Americans start presuming, oh, it's for taking the photo. Allison, it's not about the photo.
Probably not great to do that, but...
It's just a little rude, No, Allison, Amy has stepped backwards onto the vines... that are sort of draped off the ruins.
Oh, no.
Dimitri runs over. He also assumes it's a camera. He's like, we'll just give him the camera. We'll just give him the camera. It's fine. He runs over, grabs Amy's camera, and tries to offer it to the men. In doing so, he also steps onto the vines.
Guys.
Allison, when he steps off the vines to offer the Mayan guys the camera, one of them shoots an arrow through his chest.
Whoa.
And the Mayan leader shoots Dimitri in the head, killing him. Obviously, the rest of the gang scatters screaming. And also, the Mayan men look devastated, but also the leader points his gun at them, forcing them up onto the ruin. They are forced to climb up. Mateus is calling for Heinrich again, thinking he's at the top. When they reach the top, which is larger than you think, like it's a big flat top with sort of like stone buttresses, mm-hmm. and there's a shaft in the middle of the ruin. So the archaeological site is actually inside the ruin.
Okay.
And there is an apparatus, so sort of like an old-timey wooden crank with a rope that descends into the shaft. You better believe we're descending into the shaft,
I mean,
Allison.
You know we're going to descend.
And as someone who loves Shaft, I honestly, I think you're going to be pretty excited for what they
Great.
Find down there.
Thank you.
They start to look around. They cannot find Heinrich, and they cannot find his archaeologist friend. So they start to be like, uh-oh, things have gone from bad to worse. As they're trying to strategize, trying to figure out what the fuck is going on, they say, Mateus, can you call for help? Call 911 or whatever the Mexican equivalent is, with your phone. And Heinrich says, when I was showing him the photo of my brother in the chaos, he grabbed my phone out of my hand.
Oh, good. So now we're phoneless?
We are phoneless. Well, the other ones have phones, so they could use it for a flashlight, but they don't have reception.
Right.
And they are at the top of a ruin with abandoned tents. Heinrich is not, there's no one else here, and a rope down the middle of the ruin.
No.
Time to
no.
strategize.
No.
Jeff is the optimist, and he will be the optimist throughout the movie. He's like, okay, the rest of the Greeks are supposed to come, and they'll come save us. And if they don't, we're supposed to check out tomorrow morning. The hotel will call the police. Amy's like, oh my God, our flight's tomorrow. Girl, don't even worry about it, okay?
I mean, I don't think you need to worry about flying anywhere.
Yeah, you have a lot of bigger issues coming. Stacy then goes to take a sip of water, and Jeff snatches the bottle of her hand. Eric's like, oh, I'm sorry, you get to decide when we get to drink water. Jeff says, again, he's in med school, or he's going to med school.
Okay.
We all need a half a gallon a day to survive, just of water. Looking at what we have now, we don't even have a day's worth for all of us. So at least thank God he went to med school. You and I would just be drinking that water and dying.
I'd be chugging that water.
Allison, they suddenly hear a cell phone ring down in the shaft.
No.
In the dig site. And Matea says, that's my brother's cell phone ring. He had a satellite phone. My phone wasn't a satellite phone.
So like
his
he can
phone
have
will
reception.
Be able to call out. Yes. He will be able, we will, if we can get our hands on that phone, we can call out.
Oh, boy.
Allison, Mateus agrees to be lowered on a rope with nope. a lantern, an old-timey lantern, into the darkness of the ruin. Mm-hmm. I would, of course, immediately fall off the rope, and my head would explode like a pumpkin.
Yes, yes.
They're lowering him in. God bless him. He's a braver man than I. And Amy looks up and sees that we don't know how old this rope is. A part of it is frayed and rotted, and she screams, Jeff, the rope. And as they all look, the rope snaps, and Mateus falls the rest of the way to the ground.
And that's a long way.
And we hear the lantern shatter. It's at least, I would say it's like 75 feet. Yeah, okay. Several stories. So he's at least fallen, we're presuming, 2 or 3 stories.
Yeah, you're not, no.
Spoiler, we're going to find out. He is alive, he's in bad shape, Allison.
Okay, not great.
Jeff says to one of the girls, one of you has to go down. Because Eric and I have to work the crank because you guys aren't strong enough to work the crank, which I don't believe in gender, but I see in terms of having upper body strength, Jeff and Eric are winning.
Those two in particular, probably more than those two women.
Jeff is jacked.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, no. If I was there with two women who were Olympians, absolutely.
Yeah.
But again, I would be dead weight. I'd be used as a decoy.
I'd be like, just kill me because otherwise you're going to die.
Yeah, just drink me. Eat me. That's fine. Stacy agrees to go down using the remaining rope. So they're using the same rope just after where it's broken off.
Okay.
And they make a loop at the bottom, and then she kind of like sits one leg through and sits on the loop, which again is trusting a knot, which I have never done and I never will. And this time she has a lantern, it's an electric lantern. I'm thinking if it doesn't go all the way to the ground, what's the plan? Right?
Right.
So like, anywho, we'll get into it. She's able to get down, and there's about a gap of about 10 feet.
Okay.
So now she's going to jump down, but I'm like, but then how does she get back on the rope? I don't get it.
Right. I'd be like, pull me back up.
In the end, however, they're able to get her down a little bit further. So she has to jump, but it's not nearly as high. Let's say it's like a person's height.
Okay.
Unfortunately, when she jumps down, she cuts her leg.
Great.
She cuts her leg badly on the broken lantern glass. So
oh,
when he,
right,
when
there's
Mateus,
broken glass down there.
Exactly. And Mateus falls and his lantern shines. So then when she jumps down, which is like not an insignificant jump into the darkness, it's not that far, but
right,
like terrifying.
But it's still scary.
A piece of the lantern glass skewers her knee. And I like this because this is what would happen. This, it like,
right,
these,
that
we're not,
is
no one
accurate.
Is superhuman. Yeah. If you and I did this, we would have snapped our necks.
I
but
mean,
even in the best case scenario, you are completely out of your element and it, physically, no one can, you have no control over this. Of course, you fell onto the glass.
Yeah.
It's totally dark down there. Luckily, her lantern did not break. And she calls up and says, okay, Mateus, he can't feel his legs. He also shit his pants, which means he's paralyzed.
Yeah.
But again, that makes sense. He fell quite a distance. Jeff tells Eric, we have to build a backboard and pull him out. That's, again, you wanted Jeff on your team.
He's looking for solutions.
Amy, meanwhile, is like, you cannot move a paralyzed person.
Yeah.
If we move him, he will be permanently paralyzed.
Right.
And she says, we have to go tell the Mayan villagers that someone has been badly injured and ask if they would please take him to get medical help. It's the only option. And Jeff tells her, they aren't going to do that. And so Amy marches down the ruins to try anyways. Allison, if this was you, what would you do?
What would you do?
Oh, God. I mean, I think I would just run. I would just try and go home. I'd be like, I'm going to try and make it back to civilization.
Yeah.
I don't think you guys are going. Like, we know that Mateus isn't going anywhere. And it's like, okay, well, like, the Mayans probably aren't going to help just based on the other interactions. So, like, I'd be like, I'm heading back out of the jungle, back toward our resort. Like, I can at least be like, here's where we were. Like, find an ambulance or a police officer, like, to go back with you to, like, actually get help.
Yeah, that's – even now we realize that's really the only option.
It really is the only logical thing to do because, like, you're not going to get him out of there without making him worse. And that's even if you can get him out of there.
No, no, totally.
Ruined is brought to you by Factor. It is so hard to plan and prepare and eat healthy meals every single night of the week, but I'm super excited about Factor. You get every meal is fresh, never frozen, and is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I mean, this is exactly what I need. It's spring. I want to do stuff. I want to stay fueled, but I don't want to waste any time preparing or shopping or doing any of the stuff that it is to feed yourself as an adult.
Absolutely, and I feel like we've all had the experience of like getting home and being like, oh my God, I can't cook an entire meal. So for me, Factor is a great option in terms of like having food there, like having food on hand. It's also me not wasting groceries. You know what I mean? You can imagine, you see what I'm like on the pod. You can imagine what my fridge looks like. In this way, I have prepared meals ready to go. They're healthy. They are waiting for me.
And it's great because you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. So like if you're going to be eating out a lot, you can do fewer. If you're like in a kind of a vegan mode, you can do vegan and you can pause and reschedule deliveries all to just suit your lifestyle. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/ruined50 and use the code RUINED50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code RUINED50 at factormeals.com/ruined50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Amy reaches the bottom of the room. We see that there are more and more villagers. Women are there. Children are there. Pretty much everyone has showed up.
The bottom of, like, the out, like, she's, like, leaving to go talk. Okay.
So, basically, everyone from their village is forming a line. So, there's not really any place for her to run. So, maybe before there were three guys. To be fair, they had both a gun and a bow and arrow. But maybe now they are creating a human wall, basically, to prevent them from leaving. We, of course, see that they have, again, we cannot understand what they were saying, but we understand what they were saying, which is basically
get
the fuck back on the ruin. And they force Amy and Jeff back on. Amy's sobbing. They're being forced back out of the room. But as they go, Amy is sobbing. She's enraged. And she screams at the Mayan people, why won't you let us go? She grabs at the vines and rips off a chunk and hurls it at them just in blind anger. Allison,
okay.
The vines hit a little boy.
Uh-oh.
And the Mayan men turn on him, too. to try to force him onto the ruin.
Okay, so it's the vines.
Allison, when the little boy won't go, the Mayan leader shoots and kills him while his mother screams and cries.
Why do they still live so close to it?
And I said, I need to make a list of horror movies without children in them.
Yes.
Because I didn't know that part was going to happen. I mean, I've seen this. I just forgot that part.
Yeah.
I blanked it out. Amy and Jeff go back to the top and report their failure. And they say, how could they have done that? Jeff, again, he's in med school. He says, because he touched the vine. And so have all of us. And if that's what this is, they're not going to let us off. So we have to figure something else out. Down in the pits.
Can they go down like the other side or is
that? Well, they never address that, but I think we're supposed to believe that the villagers are surrounding the entire side.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the other side doesn't have stairs, is what we're to believe. Like you kind of have to go out the front facing part of it.
Yes.
The rest is just like a rock wall. Stacy is still in the shaft with Mateus, who is doing really badly. She hears the cell phone ringing again. She cannot find it. But she does hear what sounds like someone sort of scurrying around in the dark recesses of the room. Allison, Jeff and company build the fucking backboard. They do it.
Wow.
They lower Amy down with it to help Stacy get Mateus onto it because it's heavy. He's heavy. And they do have to lift him off the ground. It's also nightfall, by the way. So it's getting darker.
Great. So it's dark. Yeah. And the lantern is obviously destroyed.
And they're able to extend, like, basically, like, undo the crank to the point where the rope is lower, but it's still, like, 3 feet off the ground, which means Amy and Stacy have to pick up this paralyzed man. They're not professionals to get him onto the backboard. So they're trying to, they're just, like, college girls, and they're just, like, I mean, I don't know what the majors are, but you know what I mean? Right. It's not like they're paramedics. And they're, like, if you lift him from the hips, it's going to arch his back. And they're, like, well, if I lift him from the shoulder, he's going to pitch forward.
Right.
So they're, like, fuck it, you know. Amy says, just grab his shoulders. Stacy grabs his knees. Allison, they pick him up. They fold this guy in half like a slice of New York pizza. Like they fuck up immediately. And he screams in agony. But they do get him on the backboard. And the guys are able to get him up. Everyone makes it back up. They do another pickup for Stacy and Amy. And they say, let's not move Mateus again. We're going to see if there's some aspirin in the tents, any kind of painkillers.
Mm.
And so he's now on the backboard, and they're not going to move him into the tent. They're just putting, like, blankets and stuff over him for the night. They go through all the backpacks and abandoned camping gear. They find the car keys to Heinrich's car. So they know at least if they get back, there's a car. So they really just have to get back to the beginning of the pass, like the 2.5 miles.
Which is a much more manageable journey.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean,
well, it's all we'll find terrible. Out. Yeah. Jeff finds Dimitri's plane ticket. It was in Dimitri's bag, which Mateus had been carrying. And he's like, okay, good. Well, Dimitri, his flight was for 7 a.m. So when he doesn't come back, his other Greek friends, even if they don't come today, they'll come tomorrow and we'll all be saved. You know? So we just have to make it through the night. And you're watching it like, oh, buddy.
No,
I don't think so.
That's not how this is going to work.
Meanwhile, they're in the tent. Stacy's breaking down, blaming herself. Like, I fucked up. We hurt Mateus. Like, he's paralyzed. It's like, girl, you can't blame yourself for this one. Like,
no.
What were you supposed to do?
No, it's, I mean, everybody was kind of doing their best for a minute there.
And Jeff sort of takes Eric aside. He's like, we just have to make sure that we keep Mateus's leg wound clean and covered. Because if he's going to die, it's because he's going to get sepsis. Yeah. And it's going to become infected. And Eric says, he's not going to die up here. And Jeff looks at him. He's like, dude, yeah, he will, dude.
Yeah,
like,
he's probably going to.
Both of his legs are.
His
legs are so broken, you can see the bone.
No.
That's what I'm talking about. We're not like broken legs contained with skin. Okay. This is bone jutting
snapped
through skin.
In half. Yeah. No.
Bacteria, everything attacking it immediately. Amy calms Stacy down and tells her, goes to sleep. And they lay down after she helps her, Stacy wrap her leg wound. Remember, because she fell in the glass.
Right.
Jeff looks down in the ruin and sees the villagers. They're burning fires all night. So they're there all night watching. Just so
they're not
going
to give it a chance. Yeah, give them a chance to leave.
Yeah. In the morning, Jeff goes to pee in the vines and sees in the vines a wristwatch and then looks and it's connected to an old desiccated corpse, sort of hidden among the leaves and vines, which have these red poppy-like flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Allison and Amy wakes up next to Eric with a gasp and she pulls off her blanket. And a vine has crawled up her leg and into her leg wound, up under her skin.
No.
She's screaming, of course. Eric is pulling it out. Jeff runs in to help. Meanwhile, Stacy goes over to Mateus to give him like a glass of water. And Mateus, who's still somehow conscious, I just think you'd go into shock.
Yeah.
And he says, please take off the blanket. I can't feel my legs, but I feel like there's something on top of them. Allison, she takes off the blanket. His legs are covered in vines that are growing into his leg wounds.
No.
They're all over.
No.
And they all look and they realize in their sleep, it looks like they have green mold forming on them. The vine is growing on
everybody
their clothes
just
and their
those
skin.
Two.
All of them.
Okay.
It's just on their skin, though. Like, it's like they're able to clean that part off.
Okay.
But the two with wounds, the vines had already gotten inside them.
No.
Allison, down in the shaft, the cell phone rings again. Jeff says, we got to fucking do this. Jeff makes torches out of, like, blankets and kerosene.
Oh,
and both girls have to head down because, again, he and Eric have to use
the crank.
And he's like, we have to find the fucking phone. That's our only solution. Once they get down, they light their torches, and they start creeping around in the horrible airless dark of the ruin. To search inside, it's also, by the way, the inside is also covered in vines, which they now know can crawl inside your wounds, right?
Yes. So also, don't get hurt.
The vines look like marijuana leaves, which I did think.
That's
when I kept seeing them, I'm like, oh, that's, even if it's just been weed, that's funny. They turn a corner and they see what we assume to be the archaeologist sort of crouched against the wall with her head against the wall. And for a moment, they wonder if she's alive.
Right.
But of course, they turn her over. Her eyes are dead white. It's just a corpse.
Okay.
They grab her phone out of her hand, thinking that's the phone that's ringing, but it's cracked and dead. She is the woman we saw at the beginning of the movie.
Great.
Allison, they hear the ringing again, and they turn. The ringing is coming from the vines themselves.
They've learned
to imitate the sound to lure them down there.
Oh, my God.
And they have
these vines.
These red poppy-like blossoms that sort of vibrate and ring like a bell, creating the phone noise. Like it has learned these human sounds.
Yes.
And when Amy reaches out to touch one, the vines lash out and grab both of them and start dragging them into the darkness, much like we saw happen to the archaeologist.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to escape back up to the rope, screaming, and the guys haul them up. They get up there. Eric kind of doesn't believe them. About the cell phone flowers.
It's like with everything that's going on, like,
At this point, Eric.
The only thing that would make me feel like Eric is like, we're dehydrated, we're, you know,
yeah,
starting to like lose our touch with reality. Like, not like, oh, you're making it up, but like, oh, it's dark down there, you're disoriented. Like, what did you think?
Yeah.
But, just believe them. Everything has been so terrible up until now. Just, like, assume that whatever terrible stuff people are saying is happening.
Yeah. It's crazy, but also, like, doesn't matter because both of the women are like, okay, we're leaving. We're going to figure our way out here. We cannot stay here. And Jeff's saying, like, again, the Greeks are going to come for us. The Greeks are going to come for us. And Eric says, the Greeks couldn't even find their own fucking hotel room. Also, the Greeks would immediately step on the vine. Like, why are we pretending like the Greeks wouldn't do what you did?
Right, like... There's no way for, I guess if you scream down to them not to do, but like you wouldn't even know that they've arrived. And like also the Mayan cult, like their civilization is going to intercept them and be like, no. And yeah.
Yeah. Amy screams, don't you get it? We're being quarantined here until we die. That's what they're doing. It's so that they don't, and it's true. It's like instead of murdering all of them, they don't want to. They're just keeping us on here because they know that they have to.
Right.
Because if we were to leave, we would be bringing something with us. Right.
Yes.
And then Jeff snaps. He's like, this doesn't happen. Four Americans. He didn't say white, but it's implied. Four Americans don't just disappear on vacation and no one finds them. The police or the Greeks or our parents. Someone will find us. We just have to be alive when we do.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric asks Amy, where are the keys you found? Eric wants to be the one to make a run for Heinrich's Jeep.
Okay.
He's like, I'll just fucking go. Well, if they kill me, they kill me.
Well, but then we don't have the keys and
you're
dead.
Yes, I agree. Exactly. But Jeff argues him down to, listen, like, just, let's give us a little, we'll just think about it, okay? Everyone come up with an idea. But clearly time is running out, right? And time's definitely running out for poor Mateus, who's looking worse and worse. Frankly, shocking he's still alive.
Yeah.
They all pull their snacks and each have, like, a pull of water. And when Jeff goes over to Mateus, and they sort of erected, like, they've used part of the tent to make, like, sort of a lean-to over him so he's in shade. Mateus is on his way out. This is his fight song. Back his right song. And it is, unfortunately, the sound of a vine imitating his brother's cell phone.
Oh.
Jeff takes a look at his wounds. And I love this way to shot because you see Jeff lift up the blanket and you see the look of shock and horror on his face, but you don't see the wounds.
Oh, thank God.
Like he looks at it and then he recovers and he covers it back up, which I thought was like very on character, like a great way to shoot that.
Yes.
Allison, he comes over to these motherfuckers and he says, Mateus's legs are going to become septic. In order to help him survive, we have to amputate his legs. Mm-mm. Allison, could you or would you?
No.
And if you're Mateus, I'm like, just let me die up here.
Just kill me.
Personally.
Just kill me.
Just kill me. Do not amputate my legs. And Jeff's thing is like, he can't feel them. But again, I don't, even if you can't feel it,
I don't
just
think
like,
I am capable exactly. of amputating somebody's leg.
I couldn't do it. And I wouldn't want someone to have to do it to me. I would just pass away.
No.
Like, I would, to me, it's like, if you become septic, that's horrible. And I'm sure it's a horrible death. But I also think, like, won't you become more septic when I have
you'll
jagged, open
out?
Fucking wounds?
Yeah. Like, you're going to
sever
like,
my
what
fucking
What are the odds
legs?
That then the amputated part won't also then get infected after you've cut off? Like, I mean, you would have to cauterize it, but it doesn't even seem like they could.
Yeah, absolutely. Meanwhile, Stacy is convinced the vine, even though Eric pulled it out, is still under her skin. So now she's starting to be like, I feel like it's inside me. I feel like it's, I don't know. And they're like, yeah, we'll deal with you in a minute, Amy. Okay, we gotta, oh, sorry, Stacy. We'll deal with you in a minute, Stacy. And we're dealing with Mateus' thing. And all of them are like, okay, so we have no anesthesia. How will we do it?
Right.
Jeff shows that he found a hunting knife in one of the tents. He says they'll have to break through his leg bones, cut off his legs, and then cauterize the wound with a heated-up frying pan over the fire. And I said, let me go into a coma and die.
Let me die. Throw me off. Like, literally, hurl me off of the pyramid.
At this point.
Just let me have head trauma and, like, be
carry
gone.
Me down and ask the Mayans to shoot me in the head. That's what I would do. Just take me out at this point.
Yeah.
They take a vote. Jeff and Stacy vote towards amputation. The other, Eric and Amy, say we're not doing it. Finally, Mateus himself pipes up. Mateus says, do it. Cut off my legs. Couldn't be me. Unfortunately, Allison, we then see it happening. Jeff takes a stone. He has to break through Mateus's legs. And as soon as he starts smashing Mateus's legs, he starts screaming. And he's yelling, no, no. So the girls are like, he can feel it. And Jeff says, no, he's just the shock of seeing it. He can't feel it. It's just so distressing. It's like, either way, just let me die, personally. They show all of it, right? Mm. Jeff does his messy business. The girls hide in the tent and try to cover their ears, and Eric holds Mateus down because Mateus is writhing. He's panicking. Yeah. Finally, they're finished. They amputate both of his legs below the knee. The girls emerge. Eric starts vomiting. As they turn around, we see the vines dragging Mateus's severed feet into the vines.
What are they gonna eat the feet or something?
They're gonna eat the feet, Allison.
The vines eat the feet?
The vines eat the feet.
That's bad.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry
That's
to
so
tell
bad.
You. Night falls again. Stacy goes to sleep, still scratching at her leg, convinced that the vine is inside her. Amy says to Eric, like, I think Stacy thinks the vine is inside her. And Eric says, it's not. It's like, why would you think any of this at this point?
Like, but, at this point, with everything that's happened, like, just, but like, to be safe, assume that that's happening.
And Amy says, do you think they'll find us? And Eric says, no, I think making a run for it is our only chance. And Amy breaks down sobbing and tells him, I know it is. Stacy, who is, again, starting to become unwell, like, mentally, wakes up and hears Amy crying. And Amy's in Eric's arms, but it's platonic. But because Stacy is starting to get feverish, runs out. It's like, I heard you too, fucking. I heard you. And Amy's like, I was just crying. It's where it's like, oh, are you kidding me? You think I don't know what kind of person you are? Jeff runs out and says, everyone calm down. We're all under a lot of stress because of the vines and the ruins that severing that guy's legs. And Stacy turns and says, oh, you think she's never cheated on you? She was.
Oh, we're getting into this?
I know. I would be there with like popcorn. Again, I would be, again, being, I'd be the corpse of the vine.
I'd already be dead. I'm part of the ruins now.
She says she would have slept with Mateus if I hadn't stopped her. And the sound of Mateus' name, they all turn to be like, oh yeah, fuck Mateus. No, yeah. They turn just in time to see the vines are thrusting down Mateus' throat and dragging him out into the bushes, into the vines, consuming his entire body.
No.
And all they could do is watch in horror as the vines eat him, Allison.
Believe us now, Jeff?
And Eric says, wow, well, good thing we cut his legs off, which I did think was very funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
Unfortunately, Stacy is now the one who's doing worse and worse, and she grabs the hunting knife and she screams, it's inside me. It's crawling up my side. I need to cut it out. And they manage to stop her, but she screams, you're not listening to me. Yeah. And all the vines start imitating her, and her voice is echoing back. So again, it's like, well, now you believe.
Yeah, right now, yeah.
They all just end up staying. They try to go to sleep. Of course, they're just up all night. And at dawn, Amy and Jeff are sitting at the edge of the ruin watching as the villagers start to salt the ground around the ruin. And he says, yeah, they're salting it so the vine can't spread. So the reason they live nearby is to salt the earth.
To make sure that the vine does not venture spread beyond where it already is.
Because it would essentially be able to kill all humans.
Yes.
Basically.
Oh, cool. Well,
so they are, yeah, they are taking care of. That's why, you know, why they try to cover up the path. That's like why they've done all these things, why they try to talk to us. He said, this must be so old.
It has to be really old. Because the birds, the insects, somehow, they've learned not to land here.
They must all know not to come over here because they'll be eaten by the vines too. And Amy says, yeah. Anyways, I wasn't going to sleep with Mateus. And Jeff says, hey, it doesn't matter now.
It really doesn't matter.
And he says, would it matter to you right now? And she goes, no.
No,
and they,
nothing matters.
And they have a moment.
The vines are in charge.
Yeah, where it's like, we do love each other.
That's nice.
And you know, it's nice to spend these last moments with you. Just then, Eric emerges from the tent and says, guys, we have a problem.
Oh,
they go.
Now there's a problem?
And Stacy shows them the vine is visible under her skin, squirming like a worm up her side from her thigh. So now they have to perform surgery on Amy. Allison, who will survive?
Survive.
No one. No one will survive.
Weird.
I believe they are all going to die.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know where we're headed with this.
Yeah. There's just no way. There's no way that like somehow this wraps up with like Eric getting away or something. Like it's not, no. They're all dead.
Well, we'll find out, won't we, Allison?
I guess we're going to.
Welcome back to our studio where we have a special guest with us today, Toucan Sam from Fruit Loops. Toucan Sam, welcome.
It's my pleasure to be here. Oh, and it's Fruit Loops, just so you know.
Fruit?
Fruit.
Yeah, fruit.
No, it's Fruit Loops. The same way you say studio.
That's not how we say it.
Fruit Loops, find the loopy side.
They pour alcohol, the remaining alcohol on Amy's leg, and they cut open her knee, and they pull out one of the vines successfully. Jeff then cuts into her side and pulls out a huge fucker. It looks like a snake from the inside of her body while Stacy screams. Ugh. But she survives, and the vines are now out. They have been there.
For now.
They have been there two entire nights. This is the third day they're there. They have basically no supplies left. They're covered in blood because there's no water or anywhere to wash. Are they pissing and shitting? They don't address it, but you know they're pissing and shitting somewhere.
I think that I would piss and shit down the shaft.
I think that's a great idea. I think you would have ordered the Allison special two times over.
I would have been gone. I'd still be on the beach if we're being perfectly
honest.
Exactly.
No, we would have never, or at least
we would actually survive this movie because we would have never gone with them.
I could see getting to the ruin, but the second the Mayan guy shows up, I'd be like, "We're leaving. Sorry.
Yeah, let's turn around.
My bad. We're going. I'm not fucking standing there taking his photo like a maniac.
No.
And they're passing out their grapes, and their hands are all covered in blood. So they basically all have one grape, and that's their last food.
I do not want my last meal to be one grape.
Yeah, nobody wants their last meal to be one grape, Allison, but here we are.
Okay.
Yeah, what is it, Obama? Who'd eat like seven almonds or whatever? It's like,
yeah, no.
You got to go out big. But Stacy is even more agitated and keeps telling him, I think there's one more vein. It's under the muscle. It's near the bone. I need to cut it out. It's in my head. So she's losing her mind, and she tries to grab the knife again, but Jeff pulls it away and says, hey, let's just take a break. And Stacy gives her a shot, like, from the dwindling liquor bottle. And when she does, the rest of them see a vine wriggling under the skin of her forehead.
No.
And they all at this point, because they're so tired, have horrible poker faces. They're all like, oh, like they all right. like, they like, cannot like not react to it. It's so funny.
The, like the masking has got like there's no energy for it anymore.
Yeah. And she says, you saw it, didn't you? You saw it. And she says, Amy, look at me. And Amy's like, oh, I can't do it. Amy, and Eric says, look, let's cut the shit. Nobody's coming for it. When night falls, I'm going to make a run for it. And I'll come back for you. We have to do something. I'll do it first. And I'll see how far we can go. Allison, they all go to sleep in the same tent. They're all kind of like snuggled up together. Stacy, who is fully in her underwear at this point. And it is hot as hell. So, no shame. Wakes up and sneaks out of the tent. And she goes to get the hunting knife. And as she listens, she hears the vine sort of mimic back to her what she said earlier. I want to cut it out of me. I want to cut it out of me. Allison, the others wake up. It's dawn now. To the sound of sobbing.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, sorry. They went to sleep during the day, so they're taking a nap because it's so hot.
Okay.
So the others wake up to the sound of sobbing, and they walk out to see Stacy cutting her body apart. She has cut her thigh up, cut her forehead open, and she's rooting around in her side with the knife.
No.
Saying, I just have to get out one more. I know those look bad, but there's just one more in there. I just got to get it out.
Oh, no.
Jeff goes for it, tries to get the knife from her, and she slashes at him. Basically, like, she's out of her mind. Slashes him to be like, don't touch the knife. Eric tries to take the knife from her then, and she turns, screaming, and stabs Eric dead in the chest. And it's not an accident, but also she's deranged. Like, she's
the vines are in charge.
But it obviously wasn't intentional. She sobs, Eric, but it's, I mean, literally right through his chest.
I mean, you stab somebody in the heart. That's kind of it.
He falls to the ground. She's sobbing over his body, and she begs Amy, kill me. Just kill me.
Yeah.
It's inside me. Just kill me.
Yeah.
And the vines start echoing her. Like, all the vines are sort of, like, parroting back, like, kill me.
Oh, my God.
Like, chattering, driving them insane. And we see Jeff pull the knife out of Eric's torso. And we cut to, again, a lot of really tasteful shots, like, terrifying but well done. And we see the villagers are listening to Amy screaming, distantly, kill me. And then the creaming has definitely stopped. And now the screaming has abruptly cut off.
Oh.
And now it's just Amy and Jeff left. And he smears.
Suicide pact, baby.
Yeah. Finally, exactly. Amy and Jeff, it's just them left, and they have a plan, Allison. He takes Stacy's blood and Eric's blood and starts smearing it all over Amy, her torso and her face. And he tells her, once you're past the clearing, just run. And if the keys to the Jeep don't work, just run. Just keep moving. They can't get you, okay?
Okay, a horse is going to catch you, but okay.
I mean, I agree. But I guess, can a horse run through the jungle? It is kind of rocky and, like, uneven.
Oh, I guess if you're in the jungle, maybe you could.
Right, like, once you hit the road, absolutely. And she says, I need you to promise that you will still be alive when I get back. And Jeff's like, yeah, I mean, sure. Like, obviously, no.
Okay,
like,
I promise.
So as we watch, the villagers see Jeff carrying Amy's body down, and he smeared it with blood to make it look like she's a corpse.
Okay.
And he brings it down, and now he's acting insane, and he's like, he kisses her goodbye, and he's shouting at the villagers like, my name is Jeff. And as he distracts them with like hysterical ranting, which I'm assuming the villagers have seen before, he starts to walk laterally along the ruin, drawing them away from Amy.
Where she's going to, okay.
Exactly. He's like, you should know
my
name.
Not a bad plan.
I'm from Wyandotte, Illinois. I was going to be a doctor. That's all I wanted in this world, and this is how it's going to end. And so he's successfully drawing them away from her. And he said,
you should know her name, too. Her name.
It's Amy!
She leaps up as the villagers shoot Jeff full of arrows, killing him.
Yeah.
And we, as the vines drag Jeff towards the ruin, the Mayan leader comes to him and shoots Jeff in the head to put him out.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Which I would appreciate if I was
appreciate
him.
That a lot.
Allison, Amy makes it into the jungle. Everyone is chasing her, obviously. She's able to get to the Jeep, and miraculously, it starts. And she drives erratically over fields, but she's still going. And we see her pass a road sign onto an actual road. Meanwhile, our last shot, we see the two of the Greeks finally arriving at the ruins like two or three days later. The villagers are gone, but they approach the ruin and they call up to the, they see the top of the yellow tent. They say, Dimitri, the end.
The villagers are gone.
I think they're just gone chasing down Amy. Like, I think it's like they happen to be gone at that moment.
I see. Yes, yes, yes.
But they're not gone.
So there's nobody there to like provide kind of like, hey, no.
Yeah, don't fucking do this. Allison, what are some fatal mistakes you think people may have made in the movie The Ruins?
Fatal mistakes.
I mean, don't fuck with ruins. Like, it's such a hard thing because, like, I very much am like, if you are going to travel to another place, I think that, like, actually participating and seeing, like, what another place, like, not just staying on the compound of a resort in another country, like, but then it's like, what is the line between, you know, seeing things that will open up, you know, your personal experiences and seeing a history or a culture that you're not familiar with versus possibly harming that culture, taking advantage of that culture. Like, that line feels very blurry to me in a lot of places. But, you know, going to those ruins and then, you know, from there, what could you do?
Yeah, I think once you start on the vines, they all did the best they could.
I think, like, once you get out there and you're like, this is all blocked off, and then, like, you see some, like, wary children, I'd be like, you know what? Let's just go back to the resort.
You know, I want to say a mistake would be the Mayans not erecting a sign.
Warning.
Like, just say, like, whatever, like, nuclear testing, or not that
if
people wouldn't come through
X
anyways, but some
sign.
Sort of, like, toxic area or, like, you know, like, claim there's the vines are poisonous or something. But
yeah,
then it's
anything.
Like, well, who's funding that? Who's going to fund a fence? You know what I mean? It's not like they're – it's very presumptuous of me to say that they should be –
that it's their job. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Other than that, I guess don't
– once they were in it.
Yeah, they all did the best they could.
They were just doing stuff.
Yeah. And then where would you place the ruins on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I think this is like a 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even a 7, because, like, again, it's like there is, once you're in it, there kind of is no real way out, and you're just kind of navigating how you're each gonna die.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel, yeah, it really got me. Obviously, it's like, look, cannibalistic vines, sure.
Yeah.
You're not realistic. But everything else is played super realistically. And that fucking... When you see him have to amputate that guy's legs...
No.
Woo! I'm going to give it a 5.
Yeah, but 5? Yeah, that feels
I'm
right.
I'm going to give it a 5. But a really fun watch. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it the first time I saw it. Enjoyed it again. Well, thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Yes. Another fab vacation story.
Yeah, we hope that you get to have some kind of vacation or relax, at least grill out.
Yeah.
I need to finally, I keep thinking I'm going to buy a grill. I need to just buy a grill. I feel like it'll fix my whole life.
I had the Weber, like the just the plain black, like classic charcoal Weber that like isn't wildly expensive. I got it at Home Depot. And when I didn't have a backyard anymore, I gave it to Natasha. She uses it all the time. It's a fabulous grill.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, I'm just going to get a Weber. For sure.
Yeah. Just get like the classic. You don't need anything fancy.
Well, everyone, thank you for listening. We love you very much.
We love you very much. Aliens, if you're listening, please just blow up the earth.
Show off, you fucking gray bitches.
Stop hiding, gray bitch.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, what if it's like it just, what if it's something we can't comprehend? You know, what if it's sort of a Cthulhu situation
I'm sure
where.
It is something we can't comprehend. I'm sure that's exactly.
Well,
like,
give us a chance. We'll try.
I don't understand anything.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Dumb.
I'm going to understand something like an intergalactic being and technology that I get. Like, I can barely use my computer. It's
also,
you know,
what do their genitals look like, you think?
I'm curious.
These fucking huge hogs.
I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah. Well, our lips to God's ears. And in the meantime, until the aliens land, everyone, please, we ask you,
keep it spooky. Don't forget to follow us at Ruin Podcast and Crooked Media for show updates. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolade.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.